Well, good morning, everyone. There was a mother who asked her son, she said, young man, there were two cookies in the pantry this morning. May I ask why now there is only one? Without flinching, the boy said, it must have been too dark. I didn't see the other one. Life can indeed bring about turmoil and unrest in our lives. We can become overwhelmed with the pressures of life at times, can't we? John proclaimed from his first epistle letter that we just read today, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. That's a wonderful, reassuring image that he has given us. But how did John get there? Because you see, it wasn't always like that. Something happened to John. Something happened to all of the disciples. Today we read that the disciples were gathered in this room together, all except for Thomas. And remember, these guys are still in somewhat of a turmoil in their lives. Yes, the tomb is empty. Yes, Mary Magdalene has reported that she saw the Lord, but they are still processing all of this. If he is alive, where is he? There's probably a multitude of emotions going on inside. There's confusion and excitement all at the same time. And on top of that, what about the Sanhedrin? That is still hanging over their heads. Look at what we just read. On the evening of the first day of the week when the disciples were gathered with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. We're like that at times, aren't we? When things are not going so well, when we have issues with someone, we just want to get away, go to a room, lock the door. Somehow we think by hiding, the issue will go away. We might have separated ourselves from the issue physically, and yes, sometimes we do need to do that to just defuse ourselves, depending on the situation. But the issue can still be stirring in our hearts. The door of our hearts can still be locked with whatever is raging inside of us. Well, these disciples and others with them were physically locked in this room, but their hearts were still stirring with all sorts of stuff. Emotional unrest. But then something happens in the midst of this gathering. Jesus suddenly appears. He didn't knock on the door and say, "Hey everyone, it's me, open up." He did not send word that I'd be there at a particular time. He did say I was coming. He just shows up and he says these four remarkable words. Peace be with you. And he shows them his hands. He shows them all the evidence that it is indeed him. And again he says, peace be with you. And when we think of peace, we might have a tendency to think of the broader sense of peace. A world without war. A family without an argument. A dispute that comes to a resolution. That is peace on one level. But this peace is different. This peace is something that is beyond our natural understanding. This peace reaches down into the depths of the soul. Jesus was reaching right into the heart of these people who were dealing with all the stress that they would have at the moment. You see, and if we let our emotions control us, no matter what it is, it can bring turmoil to other areas of our lives. Greg Brewer, who is the Bishop of Central Florida, once said, "Regardless of what you say you believe, what captures your imagination is most important to you." And it's true. If you allow your imagination to be filled with turmoil in life, if we allow our imaginations to run amok with certain issues, it can become the driving force in our lives. Soon, there is no peace because of the turmoil. So Jesus says, peace be with you. And then he did this remarkable thing. He breathed on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This was the disciples' first transition into experiencing Jesus Christ in the true spiritual sense. This is to be filled with his presence by his Spirit. This is a powerful moment. This is God. This was, for them, their salvation moment. This is the Creator of the universe, the risen Lord. I want you to really understand this. When God made man from the dust of the earth, and woman from the rib of the man, he breathed life into their nostrils. They were in perfect relationship with God. And he had made them perfect. But they were broken by sin. Now here is God looking at these persons gathered in this room, these persons who are spiritually and emotionally broken, and he looks into their hearts and sees the turmoil. This is the same turmoil that has been with mankind since they fell. And he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit by breathing life into them. Receive what you have been missing. Allow the peace that only I can give come to you. Allow the fullness of what I have for you to come into you. You are set free. Let it go." Once again, you can walk in oneness with God. Once again, you can know God at a deeper level. And then he gives them a mandate. He says, "Tell them out there about this. Introduce them to the forgiveness that only I can give. You see, through my peace, you are able to forgive others, just like I have forgiven you. And if you don't, they're not." What a wonderful transformation is taking place here. Amongst all that has happened, after looking at all the surroundings, they take a look inside themselves, and they now have peace. And now they believe. When that peace comes into a person, there is no doubt that you can believe what you know is true. That is the experience that I was talking about last week. You see, I don't believe just because of what I can see. I believe because of the remarkable peace that came when I experienced the peace that only comes through knowing who Jesus is and receiving them into our lives. I believe because of numerous and reassuring encounters I have experienced through the prompting of the Holy Spirit. However, some have a problem with this belief through faith. From time to time, you have heard me mention a group of theologians called the Jesus Seminar, led by a gentleman named Marcus Borg. These folks have discussions on what Jesus said or did not say based on their own wisdom and decide whether a particular scripture is valid or not. Did Jesus really say this or that? Did Jesus really do this or that? You see, the Jesus Seminar folks have a problem with the miracles of the Bible. That which cannot be proven by science. That which goes beyond the natural. They have problems with certain things that Jesus said, and especially the miracles that he performed. And that is the problem many in culture have a hard time with as well. Thomas was also having a problem with belief by faith. He probably wanted to. After all, he's been with the Lord for a while. He heard Jesus teach. He saw everything that the others saw. He experienced everything externally that they had experienced. But the turmoil of the past week has been just too much. Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, unless I put my finger in those nail marks, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. Have you ever been there? I know I have. The afternoon I received Jesus in my life, I was going through some tremendous turmoil and stress. But when I said yes, for me, it was Jesus by his Spirit standing in that room with me, and he said, "Peace be with you," in my heart. Among my turmoil, Jesus stepped in and brought peace. And here, once again, Jesus steps into the room with his disciples, and this time Thomas is there. He again says those comfortable words, "Peace be with you. Thomas, come over here. Put your finger in my hand. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting. Believe." But you see, Thomas didn't have to see to believe. Jesus said, "You believe because you've seen, but blessed are those who believe that have not seen." You see, when the world beats you down, when friends who don't know the reality of the Lord begin to express hopelessness, it can affect us. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "There is no hope," regarding a particular situation, and it doesn't matter what it is. The minute you confess there is no hope, you've kind of taken God out of the situation. It doesn't mean you always get what you want or what you ask for, but you have reduced Jesus to a man who gave good teachings. When Jesus appeared to those persons in that room, nothing had changed on the outside of the world around them. There were still people who probably wanted them dead. The external condition that would cause fear did not change. What changed was on the inside. I want to ask you a question again. What's going on inside your heart today? The question that was asked before, what is capturing your imagination? I want you to know that the Holy Spirit wants to bring peace to your heart. Every Sunday morning, we open our service with these words. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known. And from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just gloss over things like that instead of really listening to what it's saying. In other words, he knows what is going on inside of you right now. He knows your pain. He knows your suffering. But we are asking him to cleanse us by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings peace and wholeness. He brings cleansing to our minds. And what is the outcome of that? We go on and we say, that we may perfectly love you. In other words, we are unhindered in our love for him. The stuff that life brings along is no longer blocking us in our relationship with him. And we can magnify your holy name. And how do we magnify his holy name? Well, we tell people about it. We let him be known. We praise him. We come here today to praise him and to give him glory for who he is. We lift him up. When those disciples had the presence of God's Spirit in them, they got excited. It all made sense, and they let it be known. Just listen to John, and I love this passage. I love his passion when we read John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And he goes on, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Those disciples left that room in the assurance and the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had more in store for them, and that would come later. We call it Pentecost. And he has more in store for each of us. But initially, he comes into our lives and opens the door to set us free of what binds us. And he brings incredible peace to the heart. I encourage you, let the light of Christ shine in you. Let his peace still the troubled waters of your life. Do you believe it? Do you receive it? Allow him to fill you with his presence and to see the changes that come about in you Whatever you're locking inside, let it go and let God have it. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving spirit that comes to us and brings peace into the heart where only we can open the door to it, Father. We ask, Lord, if there's anybody here who's feeling that, who needs that peace, Lord, that you just bring peace to them right now. Father, I thank you for your spirit. I thank you that you want to guide us wherever you want to guide us, and we can do whatever you ask us to do. And there's so many people out there, Father, who don't know you, so many people who want to believe in something, but the only truth there is in you. So, Father, we ask that you would move mightily amongst us as we leave this place. May we become witnesses, that which we have felt, that which we have seen in our lives, that which is true may come alive in others as well. So, Father, we give it all to you. We thank you and we give you praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.